What a joy. Hey, amen. You may be seated. What a blessing to have you here tonight. And I'm just blessed and honored to be here. I want to thank you all for several things. First and foremost, I want to thank you for the prayers for our daughter, Destiny. I am so glad to rejoice to you. I'm not on. All right. I will turn myself on. Am I on now? I got the power. All right. So I got the power. Amen. But I want to thank you for every prayer you've sent up for my daughter, Destiny. And I rejoice to tell you that she is cancer-free. Amen. And what a blessing. I would ask that you continue to pray in a couple areas in her life. Two things that I'm praying for my daughter right now. Number one, because of the treatments that she's had, she's developed a front left lobe epilepsy. So she has seizures on occasion. So I'm asking you that you be in prayer for that, that God will take away those seizures. He can. Amen. And then secondly, that you'll pray that God will give her a good, godly man in her life. Amen. She's 35 years old, and she just needs a good, godly husband. Amen. And so if you'd be in prayer for that, I'm just Daddy's only one man, and I have one wife in my life, amen. And but she needs somebody there, and I'll be there until somebody comes, amen. And I'll help carry her burdens and needs. But you know how that is; that life can get lonely really quick. And so, just be in prayer for that, if you would. Take your Bible, if you would, and open it to Matthew and find chapter number 16, Matthew 16. So glad to see Brother Mann. I finally got to meet his wife. It just seems like he and I have bumped into each other at different conferences or across this nation. And what a blessing to be able to. I was just with him. We ran into each other again in January out there in Corona, California, and have a great time. He and I have one thing in common that we love, and that's Starbucks, amen? A good old Starbucks coffee, and every once in a while he'll just show up and he'll have a coffee for me, and I'm like, man, this brother, man, I'm telling you what, man, he'll take care of whatever needs you have. He'll say, what do you want? What do you need? And he'll take care of it. He's a great servant in that way. And Brother Shelby, what a blessing to meet you, brother, and just thank God for that. And just to see the faithful families that are here. Oklahoma is much colder than Colorado. Oh my goodness, man, unbelievable. And then coming in from Tulsa, man, I'm telling you, I never saw so much snow on the highways. And your semi drivers out there, they don't care, man. They're just like, whoa, you know, hammered down and blowing snow all over your windshield, man. And you're like, man, you know, God, just get us there safely. And so we're here, and I had my eyes closed. My wife had hers open. I was praying. I was driving with my eyes closed, and she was just, hey, no. But what a blessing, amen. What a blessing. Blessing to be here, and thank the Lord for it. And every message I'm going to be preaching this week is probably new material for you, and as well as for me. Messages I've not preached here on missions, and I feel like it's very important to bring some new material, amen, and see what God has for us out of it. I might be a little bit more teachy than preachy tonight. We'll just see how the Holy Spirit leads, amen. But we need to learn the Word of God together, amen, and we've got to go and grow into it. Now, I might open up with a story or two that you might have already heard, but it's good for you to be rehearsed in your ears some things. Yeah. You know, I like sometimes repetition. Repetition's the best teacher, right. You know. And if you don't believe it, ask these young men who've ever played video games.
Right.
They'll play a level over and over and over and over again until they get muscle memory, mind memory, until they can actually win and beat that level, right? And what that is that just that repetition, they find, oh, I got to go down this tube and I got to go up that tube. Not talking about Mario now, right? And I got to skip across this block and I got to jump up here and I got to get all these coins that are going to show up over here. You know what I'm talking about, right, man? Yeah. So that's old, amen. That's old school, amen. So, but nonetheless. It doesn't change. Repetition is the best teacher. Amen. Right. We're coming to a passage of scripture here, Matthew chapter number 16. Just an amazing passage of scripture. And we're going to look at it. I'm going to read some things to you and explain it to you. Matthew 16:13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. And when I say coast of Caesarea Philippi, when the Bible says coasts of Caesarea Philippi, there is no ocean near this, nor is there a sea near this. All right. When it talks about the coast of Caesarea Philippi, it's talking about into the region of Caesarea Philippi. All right. And the Bible goes on to say, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. So there are some people walking around in the regions of Caesarea Philippi and around Israel saying, there are those that we hear say you're John the Baptist. Yeah. I like that.
Right. Go ahead.
Amen. Because it was John the Baptist who baptized Jesus, and there was no greater on earth outside of Jesus Christ than John the Baptist.
Yeah, amen.
And John the Baptist was a Baptist.
Amen. Yeah.
He was a capital B Baptist.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a proper name. It doesn't say John the Baptizer. Don't you ever confuse that.
Right.
That's a proper name. That's a noun. That's telling you what he is.
Amen.
And I love Matthew 3:1. All right. In those days came John the Baptist preaching.
Right. Praise God.
It didn't say he came baptizing. It said he came preaching. So he was a Baptist preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And God and the Lord Jesus Christ walked 60 miles to get Baptist baptism.
Amen.
Amen. Walk 60 miles to him. The Bible goes on to say right here, it says, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias.
Yes.
Somebody out there is telling you that you're Elijah. All right?
Yes, sir.
Go on. Others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Yes.
He say to them, but whom say ye that I am? Mm-hmm. Now, I really don't care what they're saying.
Yes.
You've been with me.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
I want to know what you say.
Go ahead.
Now, I like what the Bible says here. And Simon Peter answered. Simon always opened his mouth first. Amen. I like him. He was just bold. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
I want you to think about that. Thou art the Christ. Now look, he's having a conversation with a man who was born of a woman in the miraculous virgin birth. He's talking to the very Son of God. Can you imagine what's going on? Here he is talking to the very Son of God, and he looks at him and says, thou art the Christ.
Yeah.
You're the Messiah.
Yes.
You're that one that Isaiah was preaching about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You're that one of Psalm 22 who in Psalm 22 was prophesying that would be coming.
Yeah.
You're that one in Genesis chapter number 3, the seed of the woman that's going to come.
Right.
You're that deliverer of all the Old Testament, those Old Testament types that we saw all the way through. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah.
Yeah.
You're the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven. He said, the knowledge you have didn't come from flesh and blood. The knowledge you have about me being the Christ, the Son of the living God, can only come from one person,
Amen.
And that was from my Father which is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, Pebble.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You're Peter. You're a little pebble.
Come on.
But then he goes on to say, and upon this rock, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Upon this rock, that statement, thou art the Christ, the Son of, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church wasn't built on Peter.
Right.
It was built on Jesus Christ.
Right.
He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yes. Yeah.
When my wife and I went to Israel back in 2014, we got to go into Caesarea Philippi. We got to go right there under Mount Hermon, and right there was a big, huge cave cut out into the mountain, and the headwaters of the Jordan River was coming out of this mountain. It forms all the way through there from different tributaries from the snow on the top of the mountain coming down, forming the headwaters of the Jordan River. And there, in the time of Jesus Christ, in Caesarea Philippi, Christ was a very visual teacher. He was teaching his disciples by object lessons. I believe throughout the Word of God, you'll always see Jesus using an object lesson to teach his disciples. And here he is. He brings them into Caesarea Philippi. And when he brings them into Caesarea Philippi, up against that mountain, and I've been there, I saw, are the ruins of 10 10 different temples. There is a temple to the god of Pan. There's a temple to the god of the nymphs. There is the temple of the god of the dancing goats. There's 10 different temples that were built there. And there was great wickedness going on and great ungodly idolatry.
Yeah.
And there were gods, false gods, being served. Gods nonetheless, but false gods. They weren't the true God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And there at this place, babies would be sacrificed. They would be thrown into the Jordan River. And if their blood would boil up, they would say that the gates of hell accepted their sacrifice.
Mm.
That area was known as the gates of hell.
Wow.
They called it the gates of hell.
Yeah.
And Jesus takes these fishermen, who probably had never been out of Galilee, takes them over to Caesarea Philippi,
yes,
and he's going to teach them a very descriptive object lesson. Because now he's standing there with his disciples, and as he's standing there, he looks at them and he asks Peter, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I believe that Jesus Christ pointed over to that mountain, and he pointed over to where those temples are at, and he looked over there and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon myself,
yeah,
I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Yes.
And here's what I believe he was telling those disciples while he was standing there. He said, "I don't care what gods they serve in the regions of the world.
Right.
I don't care if they're bowing their knee to Buddha.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're Hindus and bowing their knee to 320,000 different gods. I don't care if they're down there in Kenya serving some witch doctor out there.
Right.
I don't care what kind of God they're serving out there.
Right.
You go there and you plant a church to the glory of God."
That's right.
Now, this is what missions is all about.
Yeah.
Missions is about planting churches.
Right.
We want to go back into Macedonia and plant a church in Macedonia. There was a good Baptist church in the Word of God in Macedonia. We got to go back there. We got to go back to the birthplace in Jerusalem where the churches were established and go back and establish again churches in these regions, because we understand what God told the church to do. Take your Bible and hold your finger right there to Matthew chapter number 20 and go over to Matthew 28. And, of course, what would this passage of Scripture be without a missions conference? You can't have this without a missions conference.
That's right.
We know this passage of Scripture, and I want to give you a few things out of here. In Matthew chapter number 28, one of the greatest events ever recorded in the history of man just took place. When you come to this passage of Scripture, I know that you want to jump right down there to verses number 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah.
But let's not skip what just took place.
Right.
Jesus Christ was crucified in chapter number 27.
Right.
He was buried and now laying in the tomb.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go on record to say this. Aren't you glad you serve a risen Savior?
Yeah, buddy. Amen.
Because there he was inside that tomb for 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
And bless God, he rose again on that third day. Amen?
Amen.
Rose again that third day for us.
Yes, sir.
And look what the Bible says right here in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Please read the Bible slowly and understand it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Look what it says right there. But some... What?
Yeah. Preacher.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever doubted?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a question mark where God put a period?
Right.
Come on.
That's good.
Hey, look, the devil's going to come and make you doubt.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to make you put question marks where God put periods.
Right.
These 11 disciples are standing before the resurrected Lord.
Yeah.
They're the ones that saw his earthly ministries. They're the ones that saw him rising those again from the dead. They're the ones that stood there at Lazarus' grave and Jairus and his daughter being raised again from the dead. I mean, they were there witnessing of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there, many of them, who saw him crucified, some from far distances. John, who was right up against it, the Bible doesn't tell us who doubted, but there they are standing by him, and they see Jesus Christ, and here they are looking at him, and some worship. Look what it says right there. Amazing. 11 disciples, one way into Galilee. Verse number 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him.
Right.
But some doubted.
Oh, yeah, sir.
If you can doubt seeing him, how much more if you have never seen him?
Yeah. Right.
Man, the devil's come with some question marks in my mind at times. I've been raised in church. I've been under the sound of preaching my entire life. I thank God for it, man. I've been in church since I've been in the nursery, man. I mean, bless God, I love coming to the house of God.
Right.
But there's been times where I, in my Christian walk and in my Christian life, knowing that I'm born again, I'm saved, the devil sometimes will come and put a question mark right there.
Yeah,
right.
Sometimes I go right back over. Hey, don't think you're above that. John the Baptist did it too.
Yeah, right.
John the Baptist was in prison, and he told his disciples, he said, you run and go ask him if this is really he. Are you the one that we're really looking for?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Right. You know?
Yep.
I mean, what am I doing here in prison? And they went and asked him, said, are you? He said, you go back and tell John that the blind received their sight, the deaf are seeing, and the dead are being raised again. Reaffirm that, hey, I am him.
Right.
Sometimes we just need some affirmation, right?
Yes, sir.
Look what the Bible says here, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Yes.
Go ye therefore.
Amen.
And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know that this passage of Scripture is the springboard into missions? How many of you already know that? How many times have you heard it inside missions conferences? All right. But I'm going to draw your attention to a few things here. I please want you to notice that little phrase. I want you to underline it right there in verse number 19. All nations. All nations. Nations here is referring not simply to countries, but to all different people groups of the world. All right, I live in a country, but in my country there are many nations.
Right.
Thanks to Biden, we have more nations in our country now.
Right.
If we have 13 million or 21 million who have come across that border, there's a lot of people groups that have come over. We have Venezuela here now. I mean, you think about it. We got people who've come from all around the world into America illegally, but they're here.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you wanted to go to different people groups in America, they're all over here. I mean, we have people from Russia here. We have people from Mexico here. We have people from Guatemala here. We have people from all around. Who knows? I mean, we got people from Iraq and Iran. I mean, you name it. We got people of people groups. I'm talking about groups of people coming in. And that's what he's talking about when he says all nations. There are many nations within a country. We are one country, the United States of America, but we have many nations. And there are distinct people groups, often separated by language and geography.
Right.
All right? But God said we must preach the gospel to each and every nation.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to draw your attention to verse number 19. And look what the Bible says, verse number 18. And underline this word, power.
Yeah.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now that word power comes from the Greek word exousia or executive, all right, which means God has given to us authority or jurisdiction. This means that God's churches, listen carefully, that you and I as a born again child of God, God's churches have been given the authority or the jurisdiction to take the gospel everywhere on this planet.
Amen. That's
good.
Good.
Amen.
I had somebody reach out to me on Facebook. I don't do much Facebook anymore. I have the account, but I hardly ever go to it. I'm not good at social media, and I don't fault you guys at all. It's just not up my alley. All right. And there's several reasons why. When I get up behind the pulpit and preach to my church, I got 300 people coming in there. They're all over on Facebook. When I get up to preach, I want to be able to say things that the Holy Spirit wants me to say without me digging them.
Come on.
God knows how to dig them out. I want them to sit there and think, man, my pastor's not on Facebook. How does he know that?
Right. Yeah. Right.
There you go.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Holy Spirit knows where to find them at. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I got reached out to by a man, Pastor Victor Solomon, out in Pakistan, about a year and a half ago. Now, I have been going through Bible studies and Bible lessons with him on a weekly basis. He's been brought in and underneath, kind of brought up under, and has a lot of charismatic flair about him, and I think he's been brought up under care. But man, you know what? I want to make sure he's right on his doctrine. I want to make sure that he's born again and saved. I want to make sure that we can take that little group of people he has that he calls a church and turn it into a Baptist church.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
I don't mind proselyting from them. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to teach him a better way.
Right.
I think there was somebody in the Bible who was taught a better way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good preacher.
And what I'm saying is God has given us jurisdiction to the entire world.
Yes, sir.
And Lord willing, April 21, I'm going to be on an airplane flying to Pakistan.
Amen.
And 92% Muslim. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to meet with Pastor Victor Solomon, and I've already got it all arranged, and I'm going to start sitting down one-on-one, schooling him in the Word of God about what salvation is, eternal security, about what a church is, who started the church, why is the name Baptist important, and I got 12 days to disciple this man, amen, and grow him in the Lord, and I'm going to be around other places preaching in Pakistan. But what I'm saying is God has given us power,
amen,
and this whole world's my jurisdiction. This is where God wants me to go.
Yes, sir.
Now, the nations of the world have governments, they have cultures, they have religions, there's tribal wars that have put up barriers to missions that say, do not enter. Right now, I'm working on a visa, listen carefully, to get into Pakistan. That visa, I'm going to run in there, I'm not putting in there religious. They're 92% Muslim. I'm getting myself a tourist visa. I'm going to go see a friend. He's been a friend for a year and a half.
Good. Go ahead.
I might happen to take my Bible with me. We might have a discussion that has to do something with religion.
Amen.
Amen. Huh? Praise God.
Yes.
I might get up and preach to his people at some point. But you have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, because they might have something in there that says, do not enter. But God tells me I'm to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that word power there means that God's given me his jurisdiction into all the world.
Yes.
And so the first and foremost, underline all nations. Now, look at Mark 16:15 quickly.
Amen.
Mark 16:15. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world.
Yes, sir.
Go ye into all the world. I want you to read those two words with me. Go ye. Let's say it together. Go ye. Who was he talking to?
Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was talking to those 11 what?
Oh, yes, sir. Come on now.
He's talking to his disciples.
Yeah.
Talking to the 11 apostles. Who baptized the 11 apostles? John the Baptist.
Yeah.
When they were finding one to take Judas's place, go look in Acts chapter 1 to see what the prerequisite was, beginning from the baptism of
John.
All right, are you there?
Yeah.
Take your Bible and flip it right over here quickly so I can give it to you. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Ephesians 2. A little church doctrine here.
Go ahead.
Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2. Have you ever tried to break in a new Bible? It's horrible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I have this nice Bible, man. It's got, I mean, wide margins. It's got everything. It's just like yours. It's all marked up. It's like a road map. Sometimes you don't even know. You just flip and you're like, oh, I'm right there, man. Because you see it, right? You know? This one right here, I mean, I'm breaking it in. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at what the Bible says right here. Ephesians 2. Verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of who? the household of God. The household of God is none other than the church. How do I know that? Look at verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the what? Upon apostles. So Jesus Christ in Mark 16, who's he talking to? Go ye into all the world. He's preaching to those apostles. Go ye into all the world. All right. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So I pull that out to tell you that the ye he was talking to was to the apostles. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 quickly. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to use our Bibles here tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, go over to verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, he's talking about the body of Christ in chapter number 12. All right, we get down to verse number 28, and the Bible says, and God set some in the church who were the very first church members. The very first church members were apostles. Who was Jesus Christ talking to? When he said, go ye into all the world, he was talking to that first church. Yep. Did Christ promise perpetuity to the church? Yes, he did. In Matthew 16:18, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's going to be a church like what I'm starting in the Gospels in every age till I come again. So he said, there's going to be a church just like this in every age. He said, go ye therefore. And what he gave to that first church was not only go ye, but that ye means all of you, not just these, but every church like mine. I want you going to all the world. So I guess you and I could really say, go me.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's good.
Go me. Every one of us. I will say this. You're never going to have a burden for missions until your eye sees it.
Hey, good. That's good.
Yeah,
preach
good.
Can I just be practical right now? I would work very hard never to take my kids to Disney. If I could do it over again, I would save my money. If I could raise my children again, I would have saved my money. I would have set it aside not to spend $1,000 or $2,000 for going to Disney with my children.
That's good.
Come on.
I'd want to take them to a mission field.
That's good.
Amen. That's good.
I'd want to take them over to the Philippines and let them see the Philippines.
Yes.
I'd want to take them down to Mexico and let them see Mexico.
That's good.
I like to take them somewhere around the world and let them see how other people live in the world and get them under some pastor there that is a local pastor in that area and in that region and let their eye be affected because your eye affects your heart. Yeah. Our kids are so spoiled. They have so much given to them in America. They have so much given to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
What they need to do is be able to get into some other regions of the world and see, man, they'd come home completely different. They would go home and look at their bedroom and think, thank God for my bedroom.
Good.
Mom and Dad, let's sell this and let's sell that and let's give that to the missionary. Let's give that to the missionary. I got too much.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your eye affects your heart. Here's a couple of things I want to preach on tonight. Number one, let's resurrect our focus. The resurrection just happened in Matthew chapter number 28. I want to resurrect some things here. Let's resurrect our focus. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark expands on Matthew's commission and he emphasizes the gospel must be preached to each person in every nation.
Yeah.
It is not God's will that any human being on earth ever live their life and die without ever hearing the glorious gospel.
Right.
Our job here, though we're few in number here, can I just tell you this? Our job here is to get the gospel to every creature. I am glad that there was a pastor by the name of Dr. Ed Nelson who pastored the South Sheridan Baptist Church who sent a missionary up to Montana by the name of Bill Wickham. And Bill Wickham went up to Montana to a little town of 3,000 people to a place called Deer Lodge, Montana. And he went up there to go start a church and he didn't have enough support to support himself, so he got a job at the Chevrolet garage and he worked side by side with my father, and when he got into that Chevrolet garage, began to witness to my dad, and gave my dad that gospel track, and my dad took that gospel track and ripped it up and tore it up and said, I'm a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic, and he didn't want anything to do with religion, and then my dad came in there and started making fun of Bill Wickham, but Bill Wickham was going home every night and getting on his knees and praying for a man by the name of Dean Miller.
Right,
that's right.
Right.
Good preaching.
And my dad, whose life was a wreck, and my mom leaving him and divorcing him, and you know the story.
Yes,
you've heard it from my dad. You're hearing it from me. But I'm telling you this. If it wasn't for a missionary, I wouldn't be standing behind this pulpit right now. I wouldn't even be on this planet right now. If it wasn't for a missionary who went after my dad and was as obstinate about getting the gospel to my dad as my dad was obstinate to reject the gospel. Because, you know, some people aren't going to get saved the first time they hear it. They're not going to get saved the second time they hear it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go ahead and know how much you care until you show how much you care.
Right.
And after my daddy and my mama buried their child of theirs, and there they were, hopeless, and my mom being a Mormon, my dad being a Catholic, and here they are, their lives are separated. That Bill Wickham, praise be to God, never gave up on my daddy and walked up to him after praying all night for him with tears streaming down his cheeks and said, "Dean, won't you please read this gospel tract?" And my dad took that gospel tract and read the God's simple plan of salvation, didn't understand it all, and I said, "Bill," he said, "you got to explain this to me. What's this all about?"
Hey.
And that night, Bill Wickham led my dad to Christ and led my mama to Christ, and God restored that home and God restored that marriage, and I was the first child born after that.
Amen.
Therefore, they named me Matthew, which means gift of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good.
And then my brother Dean was born.
Yes, sir.
And both of us are pastoring. And I'm going to say there have been multitudes of souls saved in the Philippines. I mean, I can just hear Bill Wickham in a little town of 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. In a little town of 3,000 people.
Right.
Reaches one man to Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows how many, over 30 churches born out of our church.
Yes, sir.
Good.
You're just another one just born last year with my assistant pastor going down to Florida. Now in Port Charlotte, Florida, had over 85 in church last Sunday.
Amen.
I mean, God is blessing that little work in ministry. People are getting born again and getting saved, and families are being reached, and the gospel is being preached. Another church born because a man back in 1965 went to a town of 3,000 people, and there was only one man that you can account of in that ministry. Only one man. Only one man. Only one man that got saved, and that man was my daddy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good.
Praise God.
Because he believed that every creature, who's going to go to a town of 3,000 people? Why would I go there to 3,000 people?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not another town around. I mean, this is a small town. I'm not going to build a big, huge church and a big old edifice. I only got 3,000 people to reach.
Right.
Yes.
But there was one man in there. That when he got born again and got saved, got called to preach and went to Bible college.
Yes.
Yeah.
And after he went to Bible college, went out and sat under the pastor, Dr. Ed Nelson, for 7 years, and then went out and started his own church. And that church today is going to be celebrating 50 years next year.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Good.
Yes, sir.
And missionaries around the world.
Yes.
And I can only think that my brother Dean, who's been all over this nation preaching at youth camps and youth revivals,
right,
seeing hundreds and thousands of people saved, me being over to the Philippines 7 years in a row, and Japan and Taiwan and Guatemala and down into Australia, and now going over here to, I mean, all around, seeing hundreds and thousands, preached to 10,000 in the Philippines, and watched 3,000 of them trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Guess where that goes to? It goes back to that little church called South Sheridan Baptist Church that sent out one man, one little missionary who went up and won one man to Christ by the name of Dean Miller. And literally hundreds of thousands around the world have been born again. Don't tell me missions doesn't work. I'm a product of it.
Yeah, mate.
Hey.
It's good.
Good, hey, preach.
Good.
Yes, sir.
What's going to happen in Macedonia? Don't you know how hard they're going to be there?
Go ahead.
How do you know you're not there for that one man?
Yep, that's right.
That's good.
How do you know that you won't be the one who will usher in the 144,000 getting born again? They got to get saved somewhere.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
We need to resurrect our focus. What are we here tonight? We have all this around on these walls, but these flags represent something. They represent souls going to live forever somewhere.
Right.
And if you can pick behind those flags and you can see the faces for a moment and see into the eyes. I mean, I'm on the phone. I'm on Facebook. I'm on FaceTime. I'm talking with people. I'm looking into their souls. I'm thinking this soul's going to live forever somewhere.
Yeah. Yes, right.
After Jesus gave them the commission to go into the world, he tells them to wait for something. And this is where we need to resurrect Holy Ghost filling. We don't preach much about this. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. You will change this meeting. Let me tell you what will change this meeting. What will change this meeting is that you don't get in your car and go home as soon as it's over with.
That's right.
Good.
What changed this meeting is you start walking around saying, oh God, we got to do this.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh God, we got to have your power. And oh God, we got to have your fullness. And oh God, I don't care what it takes, but hey, our little church over here in McAllister can make a difference in the world. But God, we can't do it without you. And God, we can't do it without your power. And God, we can't do it without your filling. And oh God, we've heard message after message after message. But God, what we need is not another sermon. We've got to have your power.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Hey. And what the Bible says in Luke 24:49, he says, just take your Bible, turn over there. Look at Luke 24. I'm way ahead of you. I'm already there in my brain, amen. You're not there in your Bible, but I'm there in my brain. Look what Jesus tells his disciples. In Luke chapter number 24, look at verse number 49. He tells them, he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until, underline it, he said, I want you to stay there until ye be endued with power from on high.
Yeah.
This power here has to do with dunamis. It doesn't have to do with jurisdiction. This has to do with ability. This has to do with a miracle working power. This is a power that God, the first power gives us the permission to go. The second power gives us the ability to go.
Amen.
You know what I'm doing right now? I walk around my office, man. I got this phone on, and I'm talking to a little 15-year-old girl who knows English better than most of us do in Pakistan. And here I am talking to Zufa on the phone, and she's interpreting to her dad. And I said, now take him to this passage of Scripture and have him read it out loud. And I said, now take him to this passage of Scripture and have him read it out loud. And I walk around my office, and I go, oh, God, please help the seed to get into the heart and help the seed to get into the soil. And, oh, God, open his heart and his mind. And at the end of that sermon that I'm preaching to one man that's sitting on his bed while his daughter's interpreting it, here I am on the phone. You see God's power moving in on that conversation, and that man has tears streaming down his cheeks, and he's got a notepad filled with a bunch of notes on there saying, I've never seen this. Why has nobody ever showed this to me? Can you come and teach me in my church? Do you know what? That's not Matt Miller. That's being endued with power from on high, and the Holy Spirit of God working through that phone. And God bringing conviction to a man and teaching him the Word of God. We've got to get back to the power of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Good. We've got to get back to the power of God. If we don't get the filling of God in our lives, if we don't get the power of God in our lives. I'm talking about men inside this room. I'm talking about families inside this room. I'm talking about little boys and girls inside this room. Where you'll go home and you'll fall beside your bed and say, oh God, do something different in this missions conference. Oh God, don't let it just be another sermon, another illustration, another tear-jerking story. Oh God, we need you to show up. God, we've got to have your power. I promise you this, when the power of God comes down, hey, there's going to be the ability to go out.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We've got to have the resurrection of the Holy Spirit power once again.
Yes, sir.
Look at Acts chapter number 1. You know the passage of Scripture I'm taking you to, but look at Acts 1. You go to Acts chapter number 1 and look what the Bible says in verse number 8. But ye shall receive what?
Power. Yes.
That word ye there simply means all of you. Not some of you. It's not just your pastor's job to have the power of God.
Right.
It's not just Brother Throw's job to have the ye means all of you.
Right.
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 But ye shall receive power. Every one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the youngest to the oldest, got to have the power of God.
Right.
Do we believe in a hell?
Come on now.
Do we really believe that souls die and go to hell? Do we really believe that people in McAllister who died in hospitals last night, who closed their eyes in death, who didn't get the opportunity to hear the gospel, or they never had somebody chase them into hell?
Yeah.
With the gospel. Yeah. That they close their eyes and death. Do we really believe that people in our town, sitting here tonight, do we really believe people died and went to hell from McAllister?
Good.
Now you just sit there for a moment and think upon it. They're going to be in hell for all of eternity, never to escape it.
That's right.
They'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And they'll look up into the beauties and glories of heaven. But there's a gulf fixed there. They will see us up there. But they'll say, you didn't care enough to pray for me. You didn't care enough to walk up and down the streets. You didn't care enough to say, hey, to give me a gospel tract. You didn't even carry one in your pocket.
Come on now.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Right.
We've got to have revival once again of the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Said, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Look at it.
Amen.
Acts 1:8, it says right here, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Yes.
That come upon you is like putting on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
This jacket came upon me.
Yeah.
It's part of me. It covers me.
Right.
That's a good thing. You know what happens when I get behind this pulpit to preach? You don't need Matt Miller. You need me to be clothed and endued with power from on high.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The Bible's stressing to us that each and every one of us are to be reaching the world at the same time. And although this seems humanly impossible, Christ said that there would be power that would come upon you after the Holy Ghost is given. Can I show you something? You're right there in Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. It says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, watch this, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know what I think the problem with the modern day church today is?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't have beautiful buildings.
Come on.
It's not that we don't have sound systems and all the things that we need to be able to project.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to be real tonight.
Come on. Go ahead.
When was the last time you, as a church, had a bona fide, we're getting together, locked in prayer meeting, we're not leaving until God shows up?
That's right. Come on now.
It's good.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good.
Yes, sir. Preach it.
Yeah.
Now, I know I got one finger going out there. I got three more coming back because I can't even tell you what the Holy Spirit's telling me right now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I can go back to my early ministry, brother. I don't know how old you are, but I was 28 years old when I pastored my first church. And that woman sitting there can testify to you that there was one thing I wanted, as I wanted God's power. And there was a reason why we went from 27 to 200 in 5 years' time.
Right.
And it wasn't because Matt Miller was a great pulpiteer. I felt very, very inadequate. I promise you that. And still do today.
Yeah.
But I can remember scheduling all night men's prayer meetings.
Amen. Amen.
Two or three times a year, and we'd get a little cabin together, and we'd have 20, 25 or 27 or 30 or 40 men, and we'd all get into that cabin and we'd pray. We beg God, say, God, we've got to have your power.
That's right.
Right down off of this mountain is a city that's going to die and go to hell. And the only hope they have is the light of the gospel from our church. And oh, God, won't you please give us the power of God?
Yes,
oh, God, won't you please let that rest upon us?
Yes, sir.
My wife can attest, we used to have cottage prayer meetings where we would go ahead and we'd set up different prayer meetings at different people's homes. And we'd go in there and we'd take the families over and the wives and the kids. And boy, they'd stay there. And many of them, hey, I'm talking about praying all night.
Yes, sir. Sure did.
We can't do this without God's power.
That's right.
Yep.
10 days.
Right.
Begging God. Mm-hmm. They were in one accord in prayer.
Yes, sir.
So how do you do that, Pastor? There's times you get up and you're walking around. You can't even be on your knees anymore. Your heart's so burdened, you're just about to walk and say, oh, God, please do it again.
Sir.
Oh, God, we can't do this without you.
Yes.
Well, God, I don't want to do it without you.
Glory to God.
Yep.
I've been in those meetings where you have four or five or six or seven men praying out loud, walking around, and other men on their faces weeping and crying, and others over here getting right with God, and one brother getting right with another brother. And I'm telling you, you just see the Holy Spirit of God begin to work, and you see the Holy Spirit of God begin to move, and you see this congealing going on. And I'm telling you what, when you get together in one accord, and the Holy Spirit works in one accord, there's something that happens that's transformative.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes.
These continued with all, with one accord in prayer. Can you see what happened in Acts chapter 2?
Yeah.
Come on, Adam. Good stuff. Come on.
It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were one accord in one place.
That's right. Glory to God. Somebody shout.
Yeah.
They're in one accord in prayer, but now they're in one accord in church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And you know who's gathered in that church?
Come on.
All the nations.
Right. Yes, sir.
It says in verse number 9, it says, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians.
Yes.
You say, man, this is the power of tongues taking place here. Can I teach you a little bit about biblical tongues for a moment?
Come on, teach it. Amen.
You want to see what the Bible has to say about it?
Go ahead.
Hold your finger right there because we're going to come back to it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Hey.
You don't have to be afraid of the topic of tongues.
Right.
Charismatics have blown it so much out of water.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And have you find two places in 1 Corinthians. And have you find 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. This is in my notes. It's just extra.
Go ahead.
Yes.
All right. And then I'm going to have you find 1 Corinthians 14. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, let's look at verse number. Let's look at verse number 22. For the Jews require a what? And the Greeks seek after wisdom. There's only two classes of people in this world right now.
Yep.
It's Jews and Gentiles, right?
Right.
Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile.
Right.
I don't care what color your skin is.
Right. Right.
All right. Jews require a what? Jews require a sign.
Yeah.
Look at 1 Corinthians 14.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse number 22.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 14, mm-hmm. verse number 22. Wherefore tongues are for a
sign.
Wait, who requires a sign?
Jews.
Yes, sir.
Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a what?
Tongues are for a sign. Now, it's a sign not to them that believe.
Right.
Why are we speaking in tongues to a bunch of people who say they believe?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Tongues is not a sign for those that believe.
Right.
That's what it says. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Right.
Tongues is being used to those who don't believe.
Right.
That's right.
That's how we come to Acts chapter 2. Don't get confused about tongues.
Right.
Who's gathered here in Acts chapter 2? All nations. But what kind of people out of all nations? Jews. Look what the Bible says right here. Look at Acts 2. Bible says, verse number 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the Bible is going to define tongues for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look at verse number 5. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, who?
Jews.
Who requires a sign?
Jews.
Jews. Right? Devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Right.
Okay, you're from Germany. All right? He's from Russia. All right? Two different languages. Right? You're from, I don't know, Mexico, Guatemala. All right? Every person inside this room is out of every nation under heaven. Everyone has a different language. I'm going to get up and preach in my native tongue.
Right.
That's right.
So I'm going to preach English, but you're all in different languages.
Right. Go ahead now.
Come on.
Do you know that tongues wasn't God changing the tongue of the speaker?
Right.
It was changing the hearing of the listener?
Yep. Go ahead. That's right.
Look what the Bible says right here.
Right.
Watch what it says. So they're dwelling, verse 5, Jews, devout men out of every nation of heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Tongues is defined as language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? All those up there speaking are speaking Galilean. Watch it. How here we, every man, in our own tongue, wherein we were born.
Yeah.
That man up there is speaking Galilean, but I hear it in German. I hear it in Russian. You know what God did? The power of the Holy Spirit of God was God came in there, and you hear, see all the nations get together, and they have all these little headsets on there. You know what they're doing?
Right.
They're hearing it in their own tongue because there's somebody interpreting.
Right.
Back in the Bible days, tongues was for a sign to the Jews,
right.
And these Jews out of every nation under heaven were sitting there, and the Galileans were preaching the wonderful works of God, and many of them didn't believe because tongues was for the sign not to those that believe, but to those who believe not.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Right.
And they heard every man speak the wonderful things of God. And when Peter got done preaching, 3,000 Jews got born again out of every nation under heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Because they heard it in their own tongue. It wasn't this, oh.
Right.
Amen.
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 That's sensationalism. That's demonism.
Right.
That's right.
That's ungodly.
Right.
And it's not biblical.
Right.
Preach it, brother.
Good.
Yes, sir.
God didn't change the tongue. God changed the hearing.
Right.
That's right.
That's good.
You know why we need the power of God?
Come on.
Because we got a world to reach.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We have a world that's dying and going to hell, and we have the truth inside this room.
Yeah.
If I knew somebody had the cure for cancer,
yes, sir,
and they held it to themselves, and my daughter ended up dying with it,
right,
bless God, you better make sure I'm going to have something to say about that.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the better. We have a cure for sin. Amen.
Right. Go ahead.
I got to close tonight. I spent way too much time preaching to you.
Go ahead.
Good preaching. Good.
But we got to resurrect our focus.
Yeah.
And we got to resurrect feelings.
Yeah.
The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to get that being endued with power from on high.
Yes.
I'll close with this thought.
did it work? Did all, is it possible? I'm going to ask you the question. Is it possible for the whole world to get saved? Better yet, is it possible for the whole world to at least hear the gospel? Yeah, look at Colossians chapter 1. I'll give you a few verses and we'll be done. I might give you part two of this tomorrow because I'm nowhere near done with my notes. Because I chased so many bunny trails up here. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 5. Colossians 1:5, look what the Bible says. I'm hoping, yeah. Colossians 1:5, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard." Now watch this. "Before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is," where?
In all the world.
Wait. What did Jesus say? "Go ye into all the world."
Yes, sir.
He told 11 men, "Go ye into all the world," and now we're in Colossians 23 years later.
Yes, sir.
And 23 years later, he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in the heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." You heard the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is where?
In all the world.
Did you know those 11 men took to heart? They got endued with power from on high.
That's right.
And the entire world in their lifetime heard.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
The truth of the gospel.
Amen.
Yep.
Look at it. Look at Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to?"
Every creature.
Yes.
What?
Yep.
Every creature.
Preached to?
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
That's right.
Yeah.
Did he say go into all the world?
Did he say
preach it to every creature?
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Is this written in the inspired word of God?
Amen.
Yes,
did all the world in 23 years, did every creature in 23 years hear the gospel?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Bible can't lie.
That's right.
That's right. Clear.
11 men.
Yeah.
Endued with power from on high.
Yes.
Carried the truth of the gospel to all the world.
Yeah.
And every creature heard it. I think we have more than 11 here.
Right. Go ahead.
Come on now, preach.
Yeah.
I think where we lack is that we're not endued with power from on high.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We have the greatest technologies that they didn't even have. Let me tell you what we have. We have a complete canon of scripture they didn't hold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
We have more money than we know what to do with. Mm-hmm. Well, that might be you, Pastor. No, I'm serious. The world has it. That money out in the world, God has it laid up in the treasures of the heathen for us.
Yeah.
That's in the Bible.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Why would God give it to us if we're not going to spend it on reaching all the world?
That's right.
Amen.
God's a great investor.
Sir.
I want to say that God has blessed our church this year.
Yes, sir.
I've never seen tithes and offerings in our missions giving so big.
Yes.
I'm thinking by end of year, if the giving continues the way that it's going right now, well over $1 million will come in.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
It's astounding to me.
Amen.
For us? No. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to be taking wads of money to go help pastors.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to Pakistan.
Amen.
I'm taking wads of money to go help pastors.
Yeah.
I'm going to Philippines, Lord willing, this fall. Gonna go out on many missions trips and mission fields. And by the way, some of that money didn't even come from my own people. I walked in the office 2 weeks ago and my assistant pastor walked up to me and said, Pastor, he said, a check came in today for $50,000.
Amen.
He said, what do I do? I said, deposit it. He can write whatever check he wants.
That's right.
Good.
And he ain't going to have Doge looking at it.
Go ahead.
Let's go get the gospel out.
Amen.
I hope there's one thing you take out of this message. Let's get endued with power from on high.
Amen.
Here's what I challenge you to do. Go home tonight and say, oh God, we've got to have your power.
That's right.
We've got to have your filling.
Yeah.
Oh God, make it new and fresh to me again.
Yes.
Oh God, let me understand that we can do this in McAllister, that God can take this church of ours. We got our own town, our own city to reach, but we got to be spreading it to the entire world. We got to go get every creature. Help us to be part of, in 23 years' time, the whole world and every creature hearing it. Pastor, thank you. Amen.
Stand with me with head bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is going to come. Heard a powerful message. We need.